Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome. I'd like to ask the Reverend Frederick Woods to come forward.
How are you? Good to see you.
Reverend Frederick Woods is a native Oregonian, has a passion for humanity, and lives to serve those in need. Rising above his own past challenges and recent medical illness, his welcoming smile and warm embrace helps him serve the city's most high-risk individuals, including gang-affiliated youth, the homeless, the mentally ill, and those suffering from drug and alcohol addictions. He is founder and pastor of the Calvary Christian Church, a former president of Young People's Willing Workers for the State of Oregon Churches of God in Christ, hospital staff chaplain for Kaiser Permanente, clinical case coordinator for the Center for Community Mental Health, and founder and executive director for the Positive Youth Development Program. He works with a number of state partners on a reentry model for individuals returning to their communities from prison. Under his leadership, Reverend Woods established MACE, which is the Mallory Avenue Community Enrichment Center, a mixed-use facility offering a number of programs, social services to individuals, youth and families in the Northeast and Inner North Corridor. The center hosts the October through March homeless shelter, providing hot meals and clothing two nights a week. During freezing winter nights, Reverend Woods and Calvary congregation open the center every evening, offering up space to 80 individuals. He also volunteers on the executive board of Boy Scouts of America, the Citizen Review Board, is a North Portland Bible College board member, and a staff professor of urban studies involved in face-to-face relief to Haiti and taking four mission trips to West Africa, Haiti, Puerto Rico, and Honduras. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Reverend Woods. Thank you.
Certainly, I must say I first thank God. And I thank all of you. Thank you for nominating me. Thank you for selecting me. I feel honored. As he stated, I've had my own challenges, even medical challenges. But also, I got to thank everyone. I have had a great support system and a great family, friends, mentors, aunts, uncles, everyone that has been very supportive. But then also, I've had a good regional minister, Reverend Doug Worth, from the Disciples of Christ, who believed in the vision. And then I have two gentlemen that have played an integral part in my development and growth. And that's Carl Talton and Bishop A.A. Wells, my spiritual director. But we've had opportunity. We're 3.5 years old. We've had opportunity to serve over 300 individuals last year. Out of the 300, we did some form of case management for about 24 of them. And out of those 24, we have 11 success stories. We have some men that have returned to school, finished treatment, have gotten homes and jobs now. And it's a challenging population. Many of those people that we served have returned now, and they're our volunteers. They're our staff when we open the doors on Tuesday and Thursday nights and every night during the severe weather. But even though this challenging population we serve, it's been a reward. It's been very rewarding. I've enjoyed it. I'm passionate about it. But the greatest reward has been watching lives change. Individuals coming out of situations, lives being changed, through spiritual direction, spiritual principles, Christian values, and individuals coming back. I just want to thank all of you and bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. Next, can we have Hooping It Up come forward? Ah, here we go. Come on around. I'll give that to you. Hooping It Up has been a gift to low-income kids in Southwest Portland and shows the benefit of foraging strategic partnerships in our city. The Housing Authority of Portland's Hillsdale Terrace and Slavin Court housing complexes are home to some of Portland's most economically challenged and culturally diverse families. Unlike many living in surrounding Southwest Portland, these families cannot afford high-quality summer recreation for their sons or daughters. To help address this inequality HAP, Portland Police Bureau, Camp Rosenbaum, Basketball Institute, Inc., Southwest Neighborhoods, Inc., and the Office of Neighborhood Involvement's Crime Prevention Program partnered together to form Hoopin' It Up. Its goal was not only to provide children with summertime activity, but also to teach children about leadership, hard work, team spirit, respect for their peers, and how to build a strong sense of community. In August, Hoopin' It Up completed its second camp with 35 children able to take part in the four-day event. The 2008 camp was expanded to include a writing component, track and field training, and more GREAT, which is the Great Resistance Education and Training Program we talked about earlier here. During camp lunch hours, motivational speakers came to talk about public safety, school, and the importance of community. The camp ended with a family fun night event for all the residents of both of the two complexes, over 300 people in all. It included a barbecue, entertainment, and an award ceremony for the campers in front of their families, friends, and representatives from Sweeney, the Portland Police Bureau, and more. Congratulations.
Wow, I was picked to be the spokesperson for the group today. So I was like, okay, I know what to say, then I don't know what to say, but I know what I want to say, but I don't know how to say it. But first of all, we just want to say thank you because it went for the partnerships here today. And we're not only talking about the partnerships that we have here. I just want to introduce Michael Boyer, Officer of Neighborhood Involvement, Megan Jolly, who was with Camp Rosenbaum and also Police Activity League, April Soles, who's with the Housing Authority of Portland, Aubrey Robinson, who's an officer with the Portland Police Bureau, Central Precinct School Resource Officer, who also brought the GREAT program for us, and then also Lindsay Struthers, who's also with Basketball, Inc. Incorporated, or Basketball Institute Incorporated. I knew I was going to mess that up. And he also brought a writing component to the camp, because not only did we do skill stuff physically, but we also challenged them mentally in regards to the writing component. And also Lieutenant Kevin Modiga from East Precinct. We got together. It was like three of us sat down, and we said, hey, what can we do for Hillsdale Terrace and Slavin Court? Because a lot of you may not know, these communities are so isolated. They don't have a lot of transportation, or they can't afford transportation to get to any type of recreational activity. So myself, Michael Boyer, and April Soles, we sat down and said, what could we do? We decided to do a basketball camp. But the thing we wanted to do with this basketball camp is, just like Commissioner Leonard read, is that we wanted to give them something more than just a basketball. We wanted to give them some tools that they can only take back to their community, but also use in their schools. And those tools were partnership, working together, and accomplishment. That was our goal, and that's what we did. And we did this by showing them what partnership was about, by bringing the community together. And bringing us together also gave us the opportunity to show these kids the vision that this city continues to have, a vision that was given to me and a vision that was given to my partners here. And now that we have 30 to 60 kids out there now with that same vision. So we know that these kids leave this camp, that the city will be well taken care of once we're gone. And that was the vision that we got from the city council, that I got from my commander, Mike Reese, and also from our chief, Rosie Sizer. And that's what we want to give to these kids, and that's what we decided to give to these kids, that vision. Because as we sit there and we look at those kids, I see those kids the same way those kids see me. Those kids are me, and I am those kids. And that's what made it important that we got together and do this program. And, I mean, it took us a while to get it together. Yeah, there was some backroom fighting and things like that. So I just want to let the council know and the mayor know that we do have political experience, and we may one day be running for office. But with all that aside, we came together, and we did what the city is known to do. I know it's kind of cliche, but it is a city that works, and we are a product of that city that works. And we appreciate your support, because we do have a camp next year. So if anybody want to contact us, please give me a call at Central Precinct.
Hoopin' It Up on three. One, two, three. Hoopin' It Up.
Well, that woke us all up. Good. Now one of my favorite organizations, Sisters of the Road. Come on forward. He just whispered to me he thought it was a fair trade. They gave me a golden plunger earlier this week, toilet plunger, and I gave him, let you guess what that was for. Since 1979, Sisters of the Road has provided a safe place for everyone, especially women and children, offering nourishing meals at little cost or in exchange for labor, and offered employment experience to local residents. In 2008, Sisters Cafe met an increased demand for meals, serving a meal a minute to individuals and families. Sisters served 25 or more meals per day, 371 on average than the year before. Sisters Civic Action Group, made up of people who have experienced homelessness, registered over 400 people to vote, and provided voter educational opportunities through two mayor and council candidate forums. One of them was attended by 13 candidates and hundreds of people experiencing homelessness. Sisters also held a town hall meeting on homelessness with Senator Avell Gordley. Sisters' research project was chosen by Portland State University's Capstone Program, which donated more than $30,000 worth of expert service to put Sisters' database online in a user-friendly format. The database, featuring firsthand stories of 515 people who have experienced homelessness, is now at www.sistersoftheroad.org/voices. Sisters shared its philosophy of nonviolence by providing 8 trainings to groups which included Portland Patrol, KBOO, Human Solutions, and Portland State University. Sisters followed its philosophy of inclusivity when creating its 2008 through 2013 5-year plan with input from customers, neighbors, donors, volunteers, staff, and board. Over 100 customer surveys and a customer focus group informed the plan, which all guide all Sisters' work. So thank you very much for what Sisters does.
Hello, my name is Patrick Nolan. I'm happy to accept the Spirit of Portland Award on behalf of Sisters of the Road and the Civic Action Group, which is our community organizing project. We appreciate the recognition of Sisters' work and our role as an institution in our city. We're also compelled to call on the City of Portland to live up to its stated commitment to human rights, social justice, and personal dignity by repealing the sit-lie and anti-camping laws. Making the very conditions of being homeless illegal is not who we are. We are better people than that. The City of Portland's better than that. Again, we thank you for this recognition and ask that you provide leadership in doing the right thing for all Portlanders. Thank you.
So if I could have the South Portland Neighborhood Association. There we go. Let's see, Jerry. How are you doing, Jerry? There you go. The South Portland Neighborhood Association consists of 6 communities: Corbett, Terwilliger, Lair Hill, John's Landing, South Waterfront, and Fulton, and is very dedicated to serving its community. In 2007, SPNA had a vision of holding summer concerts at Willamette Park. Association members raised enough money for 2 concerts and thought they would try for 4 in 2008. SPNA raised $12,000 from local businesses and sponsors in 2008. Approximately 3,000 neighbors and others attended these concerts. Another 500 people attended National Neighborhood Night Out, which included children's activities, music and dancing, appearances by, somebody wrote firemen. It's actually firefighters. We say firefighters and not policemen, police officers, a potluck, and a barbecue. SPNA wrote a grant and designed, printed, and mailed a neighborhood newsletter to every resident. The newsletter let everyone know the people who make up their neighborhood association, what issues they were working on, how residents could become involved, and inform them of upcoming events. SPNA worked with businesses and gave their support to the formation of a much-needed business association. Together, they have sponsored events, and today, over 70 businesses belong to the South Portland Business Association. Congratulations.
Thanks, Commissioner. It's very much of an honor to be here with all the distinguished people that's been before us here. A couple years ago, we had a vision These people here, there's a couple other that's not here, but how we can get our neighborhood involved, get the citizens involved, and with a lot of hard work, some generous donations from our sponsors, we got it done. And it's very, well, words can't even describe how how great it is to see families at these concerts, kids having a good time. It's all because of these people. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you again.
Clarence Harper, Jr., come on down.
How are you? Good to see you.
Clarence Harper, Jr. is a leader in emergency preparedness efforts throughout our region. He operates the fire call desk at the Oregon Trail chapter of the American Red Cross 16 to 32 hours each week, fielding calls from concerned neighbors, fire battalion chiefs, and others involved in disaster-related incidents. He is a member in training with the disaster assistant team and is working on certification. He has been dispatched throughout the Tri-County area to provide aid to disaster scenes on behalf of the Oregon Trail chapter. Harper was chosen as one of two safety officers for the National UASI Partners in Preparedness Area Citizens Corps Conference in October. He served as safety officer for the 23rd annual Martin Luther King Day celebration this past January and will return as a safety officer and communications specialist for the 24th annual MLK tribute in January 2009. Harper has taught teaching emergency preparedness classes at fix-it fairs and other venues. He is a member of the Speakers Bureau, giving presentations to diverse groups, including the American Business Women's Association. He organizes volunteers at emergency responder first aid stations at various neighborhood Earth Day events, National Night Out venues, the Greek Orthodox Festival, Grand Floral Parade, Pal Butte Control Burn Exercise, and Top Off 4 Drills. Harper is a mental health professional and provides in-home care for people. He is certified in CPR and first aid as an active NET member. As such, he has participated in rodeos, search and rescue training, various drills, classes, and is currently training to become a ham radio operator and communication coordinator. Thanks for all you do for our community. Thank you.
You know, after 13 years of being an emergency preparedness responder, I'm prepared and have a few notes. So bear with me. First of all, I'd like to thank my Savior Jesus Christ, His Honored Mayor Tom Potter, honored commissioners, the Portland Bureau of Fire, the Portland Office of Emergency Management, Rachel Jackie, the former coordinator of the Neighborhood Emergency Team, and currently the director of the Community Emergency Response Team for the Department of Homeland Security. I also would like to thank the World Fund Incorporated family, the Oregon Trail chapter of the American Red Cross, and last but not least, my mom, who's not here but is watching on TV. Hi, Mom, for instilling in me. I'd like to thank my mother for instilling in me at an early age that it's good to serve your fellow community. So thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Clarence. Laurel Hurst, the Laurel Hurst NET team.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you? Hello. The Laurel Hurst Neighborhood Emergency Team was founded in 1995 as part of a citywide program to train citizens to be first responders. The roster has grown to 32 members. They have contributed over 400 hours in training, education, and community service this past year. NET teams are citizen volunteers trained by the Portland Fire Bureau to be first responders in their neighborhoods in case of major emergencies, earthquakes, landslides, floods, etc. Their mission is twofold, to protect lives and property and to show the public how to be prepared. The team is constantly training and taking refresher classes. Team members also offer education on surviving a disaster. Members meet with neighbors, clubs, or groups of people and show how to be prepared for any emergency, making a plan, what to do and how to do it, making a kit, preparing for at least 72 hours, and getting trained, knowing how to protect yourself, your family, and your neighbors. Team members also write a networking column in the neighborhood, Laurelhurst Neighborhood Newsletter, covering safety issues from home problems to weather and natural disasters. They also belong to various other organizations such as Red Cross, Neighbor Watch, and Medical Corps. Membership is open to anyone 14 or older who lives in Portland. The team also participated in the national top-off drill last fall. Some members help with the winter floods and warming centers. They also provide staff first aid boosts for the Rose Parade, Martin Luther King Day, the Greek Festival, and other events. Thank you, Laurelhurst Net, for all you do for our community.
This is a team award, so I want to accept the award, you know, on behalf of all of our team, which is now 34 members. We just gained two new people. To continue our main mission, which is to educate the public, to be prepared, and to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Thank you very much for this honor.
I'm up there too. So I'm now pleased to introduce our newest member of the Portland City Council and a fabulous member who has brought a lot of great energy, Commissioner Nick Fish.
Thank you very much. I'm honored to be here, but I'd like to begin by thanking Tom Potter and the First Lady of Portland, his wife Karen, for all of their service to our community. Would you join me in thanking them? And it is also my great honor to give out one of the mayor's awards this afternoon, and that is to Pear. Sarah, are you here? You're all here? So Beth, Sarah, please. Okay. Last night, over 1,400 people slept on the streets of Portland, and we know that that's wrong. And who were those 1,400 people? They were our brothers and sisters. They were veterans. They were people with mental illness and physical challenges. They were children. Well, we know that's wrong, but we also know that every child needs a loving, caring adult to be successful. We know that's right. And PEAR brings these two together. They provide compassionate adults that help youth in our community, and they do exemplary work. PEAR builds relationships with homeless and transitional youth ages 15 to 24 through education, art, and recreation to affirm personal worth and create meaningful and healthy lives. Their program serves more than 500 homeless and transitional youth every year. To truly exit homelessness, kids must develop internal strength, skills, and the foresight necessary to make healthy choices. PEAR provides a safe, non-judgmental environment where youth are trusted to outgrow unproductive and harmful behaviors. PEAR offers individualized mentoring and education programs in a reliable and intimate setting designed to foster trust and build self-esteem. PEAR teaches homeless and transitional kids that they are valuable individuals who have something vital to contribute to our community. PEAR staff and volunteers serve as mentors, as friends, and as role models, while PEAR's unique program creates opportunities for young people to grow intellectually, express themselves constructively, communicate in positive ways, and engage in meaningful interactions with the larger community of Portland. This is a process that requires patience and trust, and I'll add, and love, and that takes years to cultivate and requires enormous dedication to sustain. I'm pleased to present the Mayor's Award to PEAR.
Thank you. PEAR is truly blessed to have the support of such a compassionate, energized, and hopeful community. Thank you for believing in PEAR, but truly, most importantly, thank you for believing in the valuable and vibrant young people that come inside our doors every day. We're really honored. Thank you. And thanks, Nick.
Yeah. Technical issues here. There we go. The next Mayor's Award that I have the honor of giving is to the Standard. If you open up a dictionary and you look under the definition of good corporate citizen, you'll find the Standard, one of Portland's oldest businesses and one of its largest employers. Bob Speltz, will you join me, please? In 1906, when Leo Samuel founded the Portland Company that would become the Standard, he also began a tradition of philanthropy rooted in a commitment to build lasting relationships with the community. This commitment is as strong today as it was a century ago, nurtured over the years by the people of the Standard. In 2008, employees and retirees donated more than $600,000 to nonprofit organizations here in Portland and across the nation. The Standard matched these gifts dollar for dollar, doubling their impact. Its employees are also prolific volunteers, logging thousands of community service hours each year. In fact, the Standard offers employees up to 8 hours of company-paid time off to volunteer each year. The Standard's corporate giving program and the Standard Charitable Foundation in 2007 contributed more than $1 million to Oregon nonprofit partners supporting education, the arts and culture, community development, and people with disabilities. The Standard embraces sustainable business practices. They earned LEED Gold certification for their Tannisbourne location and are working for those same certifications at their Standard Plaza building here in downtown Portland. The Standard also partnered with car sharing company Zipcar and the City of Portland this year to help alleviate congestion and pollution. The philosophy of its commitment, of community commitment, is shaped by the same attributes that help make the Standard a leader in financial services: integrity, commitment, and doing things differently. Bob, congratulations.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish, Mayor Potter, Commissioner, City of Portland. I'm really proud and happy to accept this award today on behalf of more than 3,400 Standard employees, many of whom live right here in the Portland area and located in 45 offices around the United States. We have a 102-year history here in Portland. In fact, our home office is located just across the street, so we really feel like the city is our neighbor. We thank you again for this award. We look forward to continuing a good year of community building. Thank you.
The next award is a Community Crime Prevention Award to Carl Leonard Roberts. Carl, would you come forward, please? Good.
Carl, congratulations.
Thank you.
Carl Roberts, also known as the guardian angel of Old Town Chinatown, works daily to disrupt illegal street activity and provide safe passage for visitors. He is also a staunch advocate for the homeless and those in crisis through his work with Day Drop in Center, Transition Projects, Inc., the Women's Crisis Line, and the Blanche House of Hospitality. The rest of the time, he works on his recovery. In 2007, Robert stationed himself on the corner of the Portland Development Commission's office at Northwest 5th and Everett almost every morning to greet visitors and move them safely through a corridor of intimidating people frequently engaged in drug deals. Now, Carl's an imposing figure with his feathered beret, orange safety vest, and his beard. His daily visible and vocal presence created a clear path for employees and visitors to get into the Portland Development Commission. He called police and social service agencies when necessary and provided the extra set of eyes on the street all in exchange for a morning cup of coffee from the PDC coffee pot. He continues to be a greeter with a friendly smile and a tip of his hat, providing direction to the lost and the confused, information on where to find food and social services to those in need, and advice to friends and strangers alike. Carl, who sits on the Old Town Chinatown Neighborhood Association Board and Public Safety Committee, knows just about everyone, their story, and where they live. Carl's community involvement and street savvy has decreased crime and helped visitors feel welcome and safe. His commitment personifies the spirit of Portland. Carl, congratulations.
First, I would like to say, evil can only be victorious when good people do nothing. I want to thank Mayor Potter, all the commissioners, people at PDC for allowing me to stand on their corner every morning, the individual that nominated me, the people who voted for me, all the people of Old Town Chinatown who come by with a smile. I try to make everybody smile. It doesn't work with everyone, but I give it a best shot. It's about community, not just me. I also work with Sisters of Rhode. I want to congratulate them for doing a well-done job. If it wasn't for Jenny Nelson, I wouldn't be here doing this kind of work. So I also want to let everybody know this award is partly hers for giving me the courage and knowledge to go forward and do what's right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul. Good job. The next award is an independent spirit award to the Coalition for a Livable Future. Jill, would you please join me? We all know that we live in a wonderful community, but we also know that we will not live in a great community until everybody enjoys the benefits of a livable community. And that's where the Coalition for a Livable Future comes in. And I think it's safe to say that as we embark on an update of the Portland Plan as a council, the Regional Equity Atlas published by the Coalition for a Livable Future will be the Bible that we use to make sure that everyone in our community enjoys the benefits of a livable community. The Coalition for a Livable Future unites more than 90 diverse nonprofits, businesses, and hundreds of individuals to promote healthy and sustainable communities. CLF, which offers a comprehensive regional approach to creating a livable future for all populations, is at the crossroads of environmental, economic, and social justice issues. Its projects have included the Regional Equity Atlas, which maps equity conditions in the Portland metro area in terms of parks, schools, housing, et cetera. It also examines data that show inequity in nature and parks access, as well as gaps in housing opportunities for people of color. Engaging metro and the public in discussions about where our region should go in the next 50 years and how to increase public involvement. Shifting the balance, a regional transportation study that offered alternatives to the Columbia River Crossing project. Housing advocacy through Affordable Housing Now and increasing funding statewide. Quote, we work on a future that will serve our families and our neighbors for generations to come, say the coalition staff, and we're grateful for their great work. Jill?
Thank you very much. My name's Jill Fuglister, and I have had the privilege of co-directing the Coalition for a Livable Future for 10 years now. And it's an honor to be here today to accept this award on behalf of the many partner organizations and individuals who do the work of CLF to secure a healthy future for all communities across the Portland region. It's been an inspiring afternoon listening to all the great work that individuals and organizations are doing in this community, and it's just such an honor to be recognized with them. Thank you.
Norm Costa, would you please join me?
Yeah.
Well, I hardly need to read anything about Norm Costa, but for those who are watching and maybe new arrivals to Portland, then this may be helpful. Norm is the recipient of our Community Harmony Award. Norm, as you all know, is a powerful voice for underserved populations throughout our city. He has worked with volunteer groups, city bureaus, the police department, and the police officers union, and religious institutions to bring a diverse community together to work to make Portland a safe place for everyone. Norm has been a tireless advocate for the needs of youth, the sexual minority community, and people living with HIV and AIDS. When some people would have simply given up and written off relations between Portland's police department and the sexual minority community, Norm worked within the system to educate officers. He has endeavored to improve the relationship between the city's police agency and the sexual minority community through his active participation on the Sexual Minority Roundtable. He has served community members through his work with the Coalition Against Hate Crimes, advocating for the needs of crime victims and witnesses, and the Portland police officers responding to hate crimes. Through the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network of Oregon, Norm has worked to provide safe schools for all of our youth. He has also been a voice for educating incarcerated youth. Norm champions the compassionate values of Portland, including projects that work toward HIV prevention and caring for people living with AIDS. A volunteer leader with Metropolitan Community Church, Norm champions greater visibility of people of faith in the community and is helping to plan the centennial anniversary of the historic MCC building in October of 2009. He reminded me earlier that President Taft laid the cornerstone of that building. Helping people see eye to eye isn't a job for Norm, it's a calling. Ladies and gentlemen, Norm Costa. Congratulations.
I want to thank the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network and Cascade AIDS Project for nominating me. Also, all the PFLAG parents, friends of gay and lesbians, the Portland Police Bureau, the parts of it, from the chief's office, from the commanders, to the Portland Police Association. Working with them through the years has been really a wonderful thing for Portland because we are a community, we do work together, and this award belongs to all of them, not me. And I really appreciate it, and I thank my faith community for giving me the strength to stand here and tell you this, and thank you, Mayor and City Commissioners.
Our final award this afternoon goes to a distinguished nonprofit organization, Street Roots. As many of you know, Street Roots is a local nonprofit newspaper which creates income opportunities for people experiencing homelessness and poverty by publishing a newspaper that is a catalyst for individual and social change. The newspaper is not only an award-winning independent journalistic venue, but also provides a means for the homeless and very low-income individuals to begin earning a living. The newspaper, a project, fosters a sense of personal worth for individuals while offering relationship building across class lines. Started in 1998, Streets Roots is a biweekly street newspaper serving more than 200 individuals experiencing homelessness and poverty who sell the newspaper throughout the Portland region. Of the $1 per copy sale price, 75 cents goes to the vendor. Now, the newspaper seeks to educate, advocate, and provide a voice for a growing population. Street Roots also produces the Rose City Resource Directory. I might add, as the housing commissioner for the city of Portland, it is the most comprehensive single publication on housing issues in our community that I read on a regular basis. And I thank them for covering our issues of housing and homelessness with great seriousness and integrity. Street Roots, a member of the North American Street Newspaper Association, is looked at as a model for community building and information. Its part-time staff is recognized for its work, winning awards for both journalistic and social services success. The newspaper also offers a dialogue about important issues facing our community. It delivers in-depth reporting on a broad range of issues affecting Portlanders. They provide a voice for segments of our population who otherwise go unheard through poetry and news articles and commentary. Quote, "We give voice to the powerless," says the Street Roots staff, and we're grateful for the contribution they've made to our community, to Street Roots.
Well, I don't want to say they saved the best for last, but Street Roots, thanks everybody. Thanks the city of Portland.
And I'm pleased to welcome back to the stage Mayor Tom Potter.
Before we close out the ceremony, there is another person that's not on your list, but contributed much to our, if you came in this afternoon and you saw all the neat plaques lined up, that's Nell Wagoner. Nell?
Yeah.
Whoop. Here we go. Nell is one of those quiet folks who works in the background, just does an absolutely wonderful job for our city. Thank you, Nell.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. To all the recipients, congratulations. It makes me very proud to be mayor of a city that has such fine people and institutions that we have seen today. Down on the first floor in the atrium, there's going to be a reception. After this event is over, please go down and meet these wonderful recipients, say hello, and tell them thank you. This is my last Spirit of Portland Award, and I just want to thank the people of Portland for giving me the opportunity to serve as your mayor. Thank you. Food's on.
Thank you.
Enjoy it.
He smacked him.
He got my attention. Okay.
Pull his bag from me.
Do we have presents?